We're going to have our Bible reading now. We're going to read all of Matthew 10 in just a moment. Elliot, if you could use the mic just over there, that'd be great. That's set up. It's our habit at this local church to work through books of the Bible. And over the autumn terms, over the last few years, we've been looking at Matthew's gospel. We're going to do that between now and Christmas on a Sunday morning. Matthew, if you're a bit newer to church, is one of the eyewitness accounts of the life, the death, the resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus is presented to us as God's royal son. And in this section of Matthew's gospel, Matthew 10 to 13, what we're going to see is lots of reactions to the Lord Jesus. Lots of reactions to God's royal son. So I've called this section Reactions to Royalty. Reactions to Royalty. So we're going to see that throughout this term. I think what we'll see is some of the ways that people we know, that they respond to the Lord Jesus in that way as well. It's quite a long reading, Matthew chapter 10. Ailey is going to come and is standing, waiting patiently. Thank you, Ailey. She's going to read all of Matthew 10 to us.
Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go, rather, to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of God.
Now, boys and girls, grown-ups, keep your Bibles open, grown-ups especially, at Matthew chapter 10. This, every year at this time of year, is an important Sunday for me. Because 4 years ago, on this Sunday, we had our very first Sunday as Berry Street Community Church. So I look at it, this Sunday, as a little bit of a birthday. And as we saw a few weeks ago, if you were here for my birthday, we have cake and we have candles. And so at this time of year, I like to give thanks to God for his goodness over these past 4 years. But I also like to think, why did we launch Berry Street Community Church? I want to take some time just to stop and think, why? What was the purpose? And Matthew 10 helps us a bit with that. I'll stick this up on my board. One of the big reasons was to make Jesus known. Make Jesus known. Yes, to one another, but to the people who live in this area. In fact, it's here behind me every single time I stand here. One of the big things that we're about is to make Jesus known. Now, you guys know I love a few actions, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go make Jesus known. Okay? Make Jesus known. You do it. 1, 2, 3.
Make Jesus known.
Yeah. Oops, someone just hurt their hand. That's okay. But one of the big things we want to be about as a local church is to make Jesus known. I want everyone to know the Lord Jesus and to love and follow the Lord Jesus. I want those of us who maybe know him a bit to get to know him much better. And if you don't know him and you're not one of his followers and you don't consider yourself a Christian, I want you to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the big reasons this local church exists is to make Jesus known. Over the past couple of years, it's been quite hard to go out from this place and make Jesus known. Lots of people have been ill. There were periods of time where we weren't really allowed to leave the house. But God's not told us to take a break from this important mission of the Lord Jesus to make him known. In fact, grown-ups, if you think about it, over the past 18 months, have people needed to know about Jesus less or more? I think it's probably more. And one of our responsibilities then, whether we're young or whether we're old, is to make Jesus known. And in Matthew 10, there's lots there about making Jesus known. And at the center of this story is the Lord Jesus, and he's speaking to his disciples. Who's still got their disciples? Who's still got their pictures? Okay, give us a wave. Who's still got the disciples' pictures? Good. Okay, a few dotted around. Excellent. So that's who the Lord Jesus is speaking to. Brilliant. And listen and what the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 6 about making him known. He says, go. Go. Can we say that? 1, 2, 3. Go. Go. They learned a really important lesson about making Jesus known. Lots of making Jesus known is going out. Church is important. We learn loads here. I'm so glad that you're all here this morning. But if we want to make Jesus known to this area, and let me tell you some of the figures. There's something like 10,000 people who stay within a 15-minute walk of here. I don't know how many there is of us this morning. But that's a tiny little fraction. And yet the Lord Jesus wants to make him known. And one of the things that the disciples learned, and something that we've got to keep learning, is that we need to go. Brilliant, Jamie. We need to go. Grown-ups, this is a big chapter. We're not going to get through everything. But there are some instructions that the Lord Jesus gives to his disciples to make him known, whatever the actions were, and to go. Here's the first one. Here's certainly one of the instructions he gives. You see that? Ask. Okay, where does it say that? Well, if you look back in your Bible to chapter 9, okay, just before chapter 10, it says in verse 36, when he, the Lord Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The Lord Jesus says that there's loads of people out there waiting to know about him, who want to hear, who may even become his followers. And he says, before you go, he says, ask, ask. The people who are waiting to hear are like a farmer's field. There's loads of crops. Oh, I don't know what happened to my thing. What happens when the harvest is ready? We saw some of these in the summer. The big combine harvesters working up and down the fields. Yeah, bringing in all the farmer's harvest. Well, the Lord Jesus says, there's loads of people ready to know and love and follow him. So ask him for his help before we go. Ask. We have to pray, Lord Jesus, would you provide what is needed for us to go? Would you give us the people to go? Would you give us the things that we need to go? He says, ask. But remember this, that when we ask, Lord, send out workers into his harvest field, we might be the answer to that prayer. Because the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the field. And then he says to his disciples, go. So you may be sitting thinking, well, I really want the Lord to raise up workers to go into my school and speak to my friends about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, well, you know me and you're in that school. Go. Or maybe you're thinking, I'd love for people in my family to love and know the Lord Jesus. Lord, would you provide someone to do that? And he went, well, you know me, so you go. You're already there. So ask. But remember, it may well be us that he's saying go to. Here's another instruction, okay? We've got to speak. We've got to open our mouths. Chapter 10, verse 7. As you go, he says, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus says that as we go, we are to proclaim a message. We're to open our mouths and speak. I know lots of people in this room, and I know some people who are really good talkers. They love to talk. It's one of their favorite hobbies. He says that we're to go and make him known by speaking about a message that says the kingdom of heaven has come near. What does that mean? Someone asked me this week, how long is it till Christmas? And I said, it's a while yet. But when Christmas comes near, well, you start to see things like this appear, don't you? What else do you start to see when Christmas comes near? Anyone? Sorry? Mince pies, yeah. And trees, and yeah. You know, things like Santa and elves and those kind of things. Yes, Jimmy? And? Yeah, presents, that's right. When Christmas comes near, you start to see loads of these things. But what about when the kingdom of heaven has come near? What do you start to see? Well, the Bible says that heaven is a brilliant place. And no one ever gets sick there. No one ever gets hurt there. No one ever cries there. And the things that kind of spoil our world and ruin it are not there, because sin is not there. And we live with the Lord Jesus. We've got a brilliant relationship with him forever. And when the Lord Jesus comes and says the kingdom of heaven is near, he says that he's come to bring that peace and joy of heaven to people like us. He's come to deal with the things that ruin our lives and spoil our world and that break our hearts. He's come to deal with sin, our sin. And throughout Matthew's gospel, you see that the way that he came to deal with that was by dying on the cross to forgive our sins, to forgive everyone who trusts in him for that. And we are to go and tell others that they can know the Lord Jesus, have their sins forgiven, have peace with God, and have eternal life. We are to go and speak about the Lord Jesus. Now, the eagle-eyed among you might have seen in verse 8 that those first disciples were given amazing powers to do some amazing miracles. It says, heal those who are ill, raise the dead, you know, cleanse those who have leprosy. Should we expect to heal leprosy as we go out and speak about Jesus? Well, in some ways, those very first disciples that we saw this morning, they were unique and they were special as Jesus' first disciples. But what were those miracles to do? They were to point people to Jesus and say, he's the real deal. He really is God's royal son who loves us and has come to forgive us. I believe that miracles still happen. I've never done a miracle, though, at least not to my knowledge. But what do I know that is clear? That I've got to point people to Jesus and make him known again and again and again. A question, when was the last time that we made Jesus known to someone? Whether we're young or whether we're old, when did we last do that personally? We don't have to wait for a church event to do that, although they can be handy. But the Lord Jesus has placed us, yes, in nurseries and schools and universities and families and workplaces and flats and all sorts of places that week in, week out, where we live, where we go, where we can make him known today. Here's another instruction that he gives. Search. Where does that come from? Look at verse 11. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As the disciples moved around, they were to look out for those who wanted to hear more about the Lord Jesus. who wanted to ask questions. This sounds good. Would you tell me some more about it? That seems to be a good idea to me. That's something that we've got to do. Search for those who want to know and hear about the Lord Jesus. Who do we go to? Those who will listen. Over the years, we've done that at this local church. We've gone door to door. We've stood out at the shops and out in the street. We've gone to the park. We've done all sorts of things to make Jesus known. But we can do that again this week. Perhaps even today. Seek out a friend, a neighbor, and say, let me tell you what we learned at church this morning. When I'm walking around this area, it might seem odd, but I try and say hello to everyone as they walk past me. I do. Why? Because you never know where it may lead. Just something as simple as that. Or if you're out in the front garden and people walk by, say hello. You'd be surprised at what that might lead to. There's loads of opportunities to make Jesus known. Ah. Who likes to go on roller coasters? Anyone like to go on? Yeah. Oh, Ken likes to go on roller coasters. Dammy does as well. Anyone? Oh, Josh loves a roller coaster. Excellent. Well, when you're on a roller coaster, sometimes they pull the bar down to keep you in the little car, don't you? And it's something to hold on to. And you trust that that's going to keep you safe. Well, we've got to trust that as we go and make Jesus known, he will give us what we need. Verse 9, if you're still following, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. When we went to the beach on holiday, we'd spend a long time there. No one ever said, who's going to make us food? The people in our family just expected that at some point a lunchbox would appear, and out of the lunchbox would be sandwiches and cake. You don't have any cake. Maybe even some fruit. Why? Because they trusted that Tricia and I would look after them. Maybe even some sausage rolls from Greg's. Or who knows? Yeah. But they trusted that we would provide what they needed. Why does the Lord Jesus say to his disciples, don't take any stuff with you? Because he wanted them to learn to trust him, that he would give all that they need for their mission. And I want to say, over these past 4 years, as a local church, what have we seen again and again? That the Lord Jesus has provided for whatever we've needed. A very famous follower of Jesus who went to China to speak to people about the Lord Jesus said that God's work done in God's way will never lack God's resources. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's resources. We can trust that the Lord Jesus will give us exactly what we need as we make him known. Last thing I want to share with you, what the Lord Jesus says, that as we go, he says something strange. He says in verse 16, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. The Lord Jesus knew that there'll be some people who don't want to hear our message. Sometimes they may even hate us because we're saying, you've got to follow Jesus. You've got to ask him to forgive your sins. That's not a popular message. So he says, be wise about the words that we use. And he says, don't change the message. Don't try and make it sound better than it is. He says, be wise about what you say, but make sure that you're pure and you keep the message pure. When we get afraid, it's really easy for us to close our mouths and say nothing. To stop asking, to stop speaking about the Lord Jesus, to stop searching out for people, to stop trusting that he'll give us what we need. But the Lord Jesus says, keep speaking. In fact, he says at one point in verse 27, shout this message from the rooftops as loud as you can. We're nearly done. Perhaps you've heard about this message of the Lord Jesus for years. There's also a warning found in these verses we read. Because in verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." He's speaking to those of us who may have heard the message for years that we need to ask Jesus to forgive us, and yet we don't. And we've heard it again and again and again. We may have come to church week after week after week and heard me go on for hours and hours and hours. And still, we don't want to know Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus gives a warning. He says there was a town in the Old Testament, two towns, called Sodom and Gomorrah, who didn't want to listen to God. And God judged them. And it was an awful scene. But he says it would be better for that town, better for those towns on the day of judgment than for those of us who've heard about Jesus and have rejected it. Don't reject the message today. The message that we proclaim, the message that we want to tell, that we want to go from here and share and seek people out, and we want to ask the Lord Jesus to help us to do it, all those things. Don't reject the message. Kingdom of heaven has come near. Ask the King of God's kingdom to forgive you. Matthew chapter 10. What's it about? Well, we want to make Jesus known. Let's do the actions one more time, okay? Here's what we're going to do. So Matthew chapter 10 is all about what we want to make Jesus known. Brilliant. We've got to ask for his help. We've got to keep speaking. We've got to keep searching people out. We've got to trust that he'll give us what we need for it. We've got to be wise and pure about the way that we do that. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, I'm sure that was an exciting day for the disciples when the Lord Jesus told them to go. I bet they were scared. Some were excited, some were scared, some weren't quite sure. Some didn't even know at times what they were going to say. But we give thanks that you give just what we need for what's ahead. Lord Jesus, help us to make you known in this area, where so few people follow you. Today, this week, help us to be involved in that mission. In Jesus' name. Amen.